And so now, it's my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. She comes to us from Fresno with 9 years of sobriety. That's right. That's right. And she told me before the meeting that sponsorship means a lot to her, and it's on her mind a lot. She appreciates those she appreciates her own sponsors and has a really interesting history with sponsorship, which I hope she shares with us tonight. Yes, that's what I hope she shares. So everybody, please give a warm welcome to Maria.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mireya, and I'm an alcoholic. I feel very small up here.
That's okay.
And God is really big. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's the inside joke. I look so funny in this camera. Hi, Zoomers. My sobriety date is... I'm just going to look down. My sobriety date is May 20th, 2012. I got sober at the age of 26. I started drinking when I was... it was a month before my 15th birthday, and my family, who are very heavy drinkers, they taught me how to drink. So I started drinking when I was 16, and I was after 15. I just said how old I was. Sorry. Let me start over. I'm just kidding. I grew up being bullied a lot at school and feeling not a part of, and like there was always something wrong with me. So my family knew this about me, so that I think that's what like kind of motivated them to get me a drink so I wouldn't feel left out, because I was the youngest person at the house when we were all hanging out and they were drinking. And nothing significant happened. I didn't get that feeling of like relief, like people talk about. I didn't feel like, yes, this is it, I've arrived. You know, this is exactly what I've been missing. But I don't even think I got a buzz that day. They just gave me like a little baby margarita. And then my cousin's girlfriend decided that she was going to like sneak shots. And she was sneaking shots, and then I noticed that everybody around her was like, everybody was getting pissed at her. She ended up telling off the cousin that gave me my drink. She was like, I think I said that it's in my last speaker tape, but it's really important. She told off my cousin, and she said, tú no debes, which means you're not supposed to be giving little kids alcohol. And she was like doing the finger and moving her head and telling her like all this stuff. And I was like, girlfriend, like you don't do that. We're Mexican. We don't move our head around and do finger stuff. That's like for our other Latin people that do that stuff. We just kind of like chill or whatever. But yeah, she definitely got some bad points for doing that. And our family is just crazy. And and by ours, I mean your guys' family. And that was a joke, you guys. I love this right now. I'm not embarrassed or anxious at all, so this is good. So that was my first drink, and I continued to drink for 10 years of my life. The thing that I'm really proud of, I could say, is that my relationship with my mom got way better. And I think that was something that Alcoholics Anonymous gave to me. Oh, I wanted to say congratulations to all the chip takers. I forgot. And the newcomers. I'm glad you guys are here. And so, yeah. I forgot what I was saying. My relationship with my mom. I remember one of the first things, like one of my first sponsors said was, because I would complain to her about my mom and how she was always on my nerves and she would always say, you know, bad things to me or whatever. And my mom was abusive verbally and physically. She would hit me for things like not knowing how to tie my shoe. She would hit me because of that. She would hit me if I didn't let her brush my hair. it's just like small things that don't need any kind of discipline. Like a child doesn't really need discipline for. You just gotta teach them how to be kids and like learn on their own pace. But I'm not a parent. I just know that. from not my experience, but you know, that's what I go to a parenting class. AA parenting meeting, and I think that's where I'm learning all this information. Because my sponsor started that meeting, and I just support it. So, anyways, my mom was that type of mother, and I would tell my sponsor at the time that she would hit me or whatever, and all this stuff when I was a kid. Oh my God. I need to start over again. So, anyways, my relationship with my mom was pretty terrible. And I would tell my sponsor how terrible it was. And then she's like, once you, like, work the steps and get through all your resentments and all this stuff, your relationship with your mom is going to be completely different. And I was like, no, it's not. You don't understand how horrible my mom is. She fucking sucks, you know? And she was like, no, trust me. And I was like, okay. So I didn't get to the reason why I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to be jumping around a lot, so I hope you guys could keep up with me and my jumping brain. So I drank for 10 years. When I was 26, what happened was I have a skin disorder called hidradenitis. I can't even say it. Hidradenitis suppurativa. And what that means is that I get boils under my skin in places that I'm not proud of. Or I used to say that I'm ashamed of, but like behind my neck, on my armpits, and in other areas. So I had to get surgery for them, for my bumps. And one of them was on my neck. And they used to have to do blood work on me, and one of the times the blood work said that my liver enzymes were really high and that I should probably stop drinking. And so I told the nurse lady that I would stop drinking, because she asked me, and I'm always the type to just be straightforward with people and tell them if they ask me something like, do you drink? I'm not gonna lie and be like, no, I don't drink alcoholically, you know. I was going to be like, yes, I drink a lot. And I love drinking. So I told her that. And then she's like, okay, well, stop drinking for a month and see what happens. And I was like, okay. And then I go back to her the following month. And she's like, did you stop your drinking? And I was like, I did not stop. She's like, then you have a problem. And I was like, B word. You have a problem. And I didn't say that, but I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to continue to check it out and see if I have a problem or not. Or what do you do when you have a drinking problem? Like, I don't even know. Something that I'm really grateful for AA is that I had no idea that it existed, and it took somebody like me and turned me into somebody who knows about AA. And how the step works and things like that. So that's what happened. That's how I found out that I was an alcoholic. And the thing is that I Googled it. Like, I Googled the information of why I was an alcoholic. Not why. I Googled how I could get my liver better. Because, see, I didn't know about AA. I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I use that term alcoholic loosely because I've heard people call, I don't know. I don't even know where the term came from. But I knew that I might be one. So what happened was my liver. That's right. My liver enzymes were high. And I Googled it, and I found out that if you don't stop drinking or if you don't get your liver under control, then you're going to get an enlarged liver. And once you get an enlarged liver, you get cirrhosis of the liver. And then once you get cirrhosis of the liver, you have to get, like, a transplant. And for me and all the surgeries that I had and the physical suffering that I that I had to go through because of my skin disorder, I thought, I'm not going to have that happen to me. I don't want to have another liver placed inside of me. No, thank you. And so I stopped drinking, and my plan was just to stop drinking for a year. I was going to not drink for a year, and then I was going to, like, continue to drink because that's the only thing I knew how to do. That's the only thing I felt like I was good at. I even went to bartending school, and if you know anything about bartending, you know that there's no such thing as bartending school. I was totally, what is that, scammed? I was scammed out of $200 and something since I'm learning how to be a bartender, so that's cool, right? I do know how to make drinks, though, so maybe it wasn't that bad that I got scammed. But they gave me a certificate and everything, so that was my first certificate of anything because I dropped out of high school and I never got a high school diploma while I was out there. And even in sobriety, I had tried to get it. Anyways, I'm getting off track. My liver. Was the reason that I stopped drinking. And then I found out that that it's only part of your body that actually regenerates itself and gets better on its own. If you don't, like, continue to drink and fuck it up. So I did that. I was like, okay, I could do this. And I stopped drinking for about a month and a half. And then there was a wedding that I went to. And that was, like, I like to describe it as the alcoholic's dream, because there was, like, everything you could imagine there of the different types of alcohol. There was even a, never mind, I don't want to say because it might trigger people. But anyways, there was a lot to drink. And I was sitting there with no sponsor, no idea of AA, kind of an idea that I might have a drinking problem, wanting to save my liver, and having maybe two people who supported me from not drinking. Everybody else, which is my family, have till this day, they still say that that I'm not an alcoholic, I'm just Mexican. And I was like, so even till this day that she says that, I was like, man, then every single person that goes to AA is Mexican then. And because we're all alcoholics, and I'm an alcoholic, so I guess you guys identify as Mexicans, too. And, just kidding. Even you, you're the most Mexican in this room. I'm playing. I had no support, and I knew that that I was going to need support. So I would hit up my friends, and I'd be like, yo, I really want to drink right now. And they're like, don't do it. And I'd be like, but you don't understand. And I wanted to, like, rip my skin off of my body. That's how intense it was that I wanted to drink so bad that day. And I just did whatever it took so I wouldn't pick up a drink. And that's kind of like what it is to be an alcoholic for me. That has been my experience. I'm sorry. I forget that I'm not, like, the representative of AA, but I'm not the representative of AA, and I'm not just, I just want the newcomers to remember that, too. I'm just sharing my experience. I'm not sharing, like, what your journey is going to be like. It might be the same. There's a lot of similarities that we have, but I'm not here to, like, be the poster child, you know, AA person thing, whatever. I just made that up in my head. So I was at this party, and then I made the mistake of asking the person that gave me my first drink. I was like, girlfriend, I really want to drink right now. She's like, just fucking do it. And I was like, my liver, bro. She's like, nah, it's all right. I'm pretty sure it's not that bad. And I'm like, all right, dude, pretty sure your liver is probably worse than mine, but whatever. Because she had been drinking longer than me, and she's older than me. And actually, her liver did get bad, too, but I think she just stopped drinking and started smoking weed instead. Because she suggested that to me. She's like, oh, now that you don't think you can smoke weed. I was like, talk to my sponsor about it, lady. No, I'm playing. That never happened. That was another scenario I made up. But yeah, she did tell me I should just smoke weed. Anyways, I continue to live sober. I finally decided to get help. So I called a bunch of different numbers that my insurance gave me. Like, I called a opiates rehab place, and I was like, oh, wrong number. And then I called, like, the Lujan House, I think it was called. And I was like, oh, I don't want to live with y'all, wrong number. And then I called, the place that I ended up at was New Connections. And I thought everybody there was... I thought everyone there was, like, willingly there, like, because they wanted to get sober or whatever. But they were more, like, court-ordered to be there. And I was, like, put with the Hispanics. I don't know why they did that. They put, like, Hispanics together. They put, like, dual diagnosis people together. And then I don't know what happened, but I ended up with the dual diagnosis people. It was quite an experience. That felt like my safe place, my only safe place, because I couldn't be at home. I asked my parents to not have people come over to drink, but they would still let people come over to drink at my house. Mind you, my parents don't drink at all. One of them is diabetic, and the other one has heart conditions, so they don't drink. But I'm like, what? How do you guys want people over here drinking? It's crazy. And maybe they just felt really lonely. I don't know. But anyways, next chapter. I finally met my first sponsor at Alano Club. And it was like the third time I had been there. And the reason why I started going to AA meetings is because New Connections had told me to go there. And so I went. And the first time I got scared because there was a lot of tables and chairs, and I was like, oh my god, this place is gonna get packed. I'm out of here. So I left, and then I came back the next time, and then I sat there and I listened, and there was like some dudes. There's a lot of dudes here too. I just want to acknowledge you. hi dudes. And there was just a bunch of dudes there, and I was like, wow, this is, I still couldn't relate to them. Because they were just talking about how much they love drinking, and they had, like, one day of sobriety. And so I couldn't relate to them. And then the next time I ended up coming back, and I told God, I was like, God, if nobody talks to me today, I'm never going to come back to AA. So what happened was I went to the meeting. It was like a candlelight meeting. There was another woman there. Finally, another woman. I was gonna say that this is gonna be like a woman bashing speaker meeting because besides her and the sponsor I have now, the in-between sponsors were just horrible. And so that sponsor came, she wasn't my sponsor yet, so that woman came up to me. She had 9 years, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm talking about myself now. I have 9 years of sobriety. She had at the time 9 months of sobriety. And after the meeting, she heard me share. I probably talked about my liver or whatever, and that I wanted to get sober. And so she came up to me, and she gave me a hug, and she gave me her number. And I'm not used to affection. That's not what I grew up with. So, and I'm used to, like I said earlier, I was bullied, so I'm used to strangers not being the nicest to me. So when she did that, I was like, wow, there's good people in this world. And I was really impressed by her sobriety time because she was Latina like me. And, you know, Mexicans are Mexicans. We're not alcoholics. So I was like, wow, another not alcoholic is here. Definitely. She helped me through a lot. I don't know how long I've been talking.
20 minutes.
20 minutes? Okay. So then, what happened? I'm just kidding. So then, lots of things happened that one sponsor gave me up, and then I ended up with another sponsor who was her sponsor. And she really, I couldn't connect with her. I couldn't connect with her the way that she would talk to me and sponsor me. Like, she would say stuff, and I was just like, it would just go over my head. I just didn't get it. And so I hadn't worked the steps. And then I finally got to the third sponsor, who I appreciate very much now. I'm not even being sarcastic. I do appreciate her and how much she helped me. But she also caused a lot of damage to me, emotionally. And when I was, like, trying to do my fourth step with her, she kind of, like, scarred me because, I don't know if I should talk about it or not. It might help somebody, so, I was working on my fourth step, and so, I was working on my mom, and me and my mom have, like, had the worst relationship. So whenever I was going through my step work and writing everything out, I was just, like, bawling and crying and unconsolably. So then I called my sponsor, and I was like, sponsor, like, I'm going through this stuff, and I just really want to get my mind off of it. I don't want to cry anymore. I just want to get through it. And I tried to change the subject, and I was like, I invited so-and-so to come to your party, your Super Bowl party. And then she's like, why would you do that? I don't like that person. So she went off on me instead of, like, be supportive and kind of help me through the steps. So then, in that moment, I had some pills, my antidepressants, because I have I have mental health issues, and I think so I was gonna just take those pills all the way to the face, all the way to the dome, and so I wouldn't be here anymore. Because of that conversation and because of all the resentments that I had towards my mom, I just couldn't deal. I couldn't emotionally deal. And so being sober, it was just so fucking hard. So, like, I didn't know what else to do. So I didn't. I gently got on my knees and I got down and I covered my face and I just prayed to God and I was like, God, please help me get through this pain. I don't want to feel this anymore. And I couldn't take the pills, and I stayed alive. And it was, like, another moment. I was getting ready. There's so many moments. So that was that one sponsor that really, like, messed me up, I guess. And then the following sponsor, she was worse. Actually, she wasn't worse. Nah, she was just as bad. I don't know. I shouldn't compare them. They both were bad. She was the one that would, like, berate me and tell me I needed plastic surgery and, like, all this other stuff because I'm overweight, and just, like, she would just tear me down all the time. And this is, like, it was little by little, but then I got to my fourth step, and she decided to do the same fucking thing with the other sponsor did, where she just, like, started yelling at me, berating me, and putting me down, and all this other shit. And I was like, I was trying to act cool, like, whatever, you could say all the shit you want to me, because my mom has said worse shit to me, and you ain't nobody, like, keep going. So she kept going, and then I was like, oh my God. No. And then I asked her to stop, but she wouldn't stop, and then I started crying, and it was this whole fucking thing. And she still yelled at me even while I was crying, and I was like, fuck, this lady's heartless. And she had, like, 32 years of sobriety at the time, so I couldn't even believe. See, this is why I was like, this is a woman bashing fucking speaker meeting right now. Every single woman in my life has caused some kind of fucking problem. except for those three of them. Just fucking around, you guys. Oh, my God. I mean, like, the three significant people. I mean, four. I mean, most of the women that... Okay, I don't know where to fix that, how to fix that. But yeah, those are a big part of my life, and I continued to stay sober regardless of anybody else. And I think that's my main message, is that no matter what you go through, who's in your life, and how horrible you feel, you could get through it, and you could come out on the other side like a better person and more appreciative of the good people that you have in your life. And because now, my sponsor that I have now, I don't know, how long has it been? Has it been 20 minutes yet?
Yeah.
28 more? 8? Okay. So this is when I'll talk about my now. Now I finally was able to finish my resentments without having my sponsor talk shit to me. My mom's and I relationship is way better than it used to be. So that thing that my first sponsor had told me came true. And all I've ever wanted was for my mom to like love me and show me that she loves me. And I equate love with affection, because she would always like, I would try to talk to her and she would slam doors in my face. I tried to hug her, she pushed me away. That was the kind of mom she was to me. And now she's become the shoulder that I cry on sometimes, because I don't cry a lot. Just kidding, I cry a lot. But she's like the shoulder that I could cry on. She's one of my biggest supporters. I even got her a big book in Spanish so she could read, and she was like actually interested in it. And then... another thing is that the sponsor I have now, for 2 years I went without a sponsor, and because I was so like Trump, I had post-traumatic sponsor disorder, PTSD, from the sponsors. Thanks. This is the first time you laughed, huh? sorry. Hi guys on Zoom. Hi. And ladies too. So what happened was I was unsponsored for 2 years. And the thing that happened was I wanted to die again. And I was not in a good place mentally, but I ended up going to a pizza place with my sister and her friend, and they both had beers, and I was trying to be vegan or something, but I was eating a pizza with just cheese, and I was so unhappy. It's so funny. No, it's not. It's not funny. It's really sad. I was so sad. And so what happened was, I picked up my sister's beer while she was away and her friend was away, and then I picked it up and I put it up to my nose. And because something told me, put it up to your nose before you drink it. And I definitely feel like that was my higher power, because as soon as I put it up to my nose, I was like, fuck, no, I'm not going to drink this. Because all the terrible memories from when I was drinking just fucking flooded back, and I was like, oh my God, that's not the life I want. And so one of my friends, I'm almost done, right? One of my friends asked me, she's like, what do you want in a sponsor? And I was like, I want somebody who is kind, is really spiritual, is really passionate about AA, and really has no problems with people, because I have problems with people. And so I made that list, and I think there was a couple other things on there. And sure enough, a couple months later, there was this woman that I had kind of admired from afar for a long time. And she would, every now and then, she would ask me to go speak on a panel with her. And I think we ran into each other at a meeting, and she's like, how you doing? And I'm like, fucking horrible, I want to die. And she's like, oh, shit. Oh, no, that's not good. And I was like, I know. She's like, are you being sponsored right now? And I was like, no. She's like, how are you working the steps? By myself? Yes. No, I wasn't. I wasn't working the steps. I was sponsoring myself, and I was doing a horrible job. And she like, helped me, and she's been the person, like, she's a really big part of my support system, and all the things that I listed are the things that, qualities that she actually has, which is pretty amazing, that I actually, like, wrote it down and asked for it, and then God gave it to me. And if you're brand new and you don't believe in God, start doing shit like I was just talking about for the last 45 minutes, like, ask for things. If you want to have a friend, ask God for a friend. If you want to, like, not hurt anymore, ask God to take the pain away. If you want a sponsor who's actually going to be supportive of you and help you and love you, ask for it. That's all you got to do. And I hope that... Oh, is it over? What is this? Oh, shoot. I hope that you guys heard something that could be helpful to you, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.